will be in Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. I'll try to get finished by before 12 o'clock. Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6 is the first deacons. The first deacons. That's what it's going to be about. We'll try to take the whole chapter if I can. And so let us pray, and then we'll just go on from there. Father, we come to thy throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and kindness toward us. Thank you, God, for being merciful and gracious to us. Father, we ask your help this morning. Help me to preach, and I pray that you bless your people through the preaching of the word. May you apply these things to their hearts, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You got to get me a drink. Okay, in Acts chapter number 6, it's an important chapter, and it's an important event in the life of the first church. And what these people did in Acts chapter number 6 is still going on in biblical churches. We do not make up the rules as to what we're supposed to do. We're trying to follow the Bible as close as we can. The word deacon, I use the word deacon, the first deacons. The word deacon is not found in Acts chapter number 6. But it turned out that that's what their job was, and that's what they became. They became deacons, the first the first deacons. The qualifications for deacons are given in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. We'll turn over there after a while. We'll see that later. And these qualifications were not written down in Acts chapter number 6 yet, because 1 Timothy chapter 3 wasn't written yet. Paul the apostle who wrote it, he wasn't even saved at the time he got saved in Acts chapter number 9, where we'll see yet. These people that we're talking about here today, they don't even have a New Testament. All they have is the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. That's all they have. And so they're just going with that. They used what they knew at the time, and the Lord blessed it, and then he enlarged on it a little bit later. But, you know, there are qualifications for different things in the Bible. Qualifications for a pastor, qualifications for, in other words, you try to do those things as best you can if you're going to do that job. There are two offices in the church. I'll tell you that a little bit later again, but there's pastor and deacons, pastor or the bishop, elder, pastor, shepherd in the Bible. Just those two offices are right there. So they used what they knew at the time, and the Lord blessed it. Then he enlarged upon it later. And so we're going to find that for the men who were chosen for this work, there were qualifications, there were spiritual qualifications for them. But the work was both physical, and here's what the work was. It was waiting on tables. Waiting on tables and caring for the widows. And by the way, when I come across the term widows, I don't know if you know this or not. It's been a long time since I've been over 1 Timothy, but there are things in the Bible that for a church that where we are supposed to look after widows if they meet the qualifications there too, see, widows. We won't turn over there today, but it's in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. They have to be a widow, called a widow indeed, with no means of support, and the church is supposed to look after them if they do what it says here. So these qualifications for deacons were spiritual qualifications, but the work was physical, and then it was spiritual. So some of these men went on to preach later on. That would be Philip and Stephen. They became preachers like evangelists. They preached. And one of them that's mentioned here, Stephen, he went on and he was a martyr. As we're going to find out in the next chapter, of the book of Acts here. So what I want to do is give you an outline here and go over this verse by verse and show you some things that we find in Acts chapter number 6. So if you'll look there, The first thing I want to point out to you in verse number one is there's a problem. There's a problem that comes up in the church, and looks what it says in verse number one. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. In other words, there's a bunch of them, and a lot of people were saved. A lot of people had gotten saved there in Jerusalem. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. So within the first year or so that the church was there, then there was a problem. There were thousands of people, and they're still meeting in the temple. They're probably daily, and they're probably lots of poor folks, and lots of widows. But the problem is this. The problem that came up in the church is twofold. Number one is murmuring. You know what murmuring is? Murmuring is complaining. They were complaining. They were murmuring there. And that was the problem. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter number 11, verse 1 to 3, that there were many people that died in Israel. You know why? Because they murmured. They complained. And the Bible says God heard it. God's trying to help them. God's trying to lead them to a better place in their life. Of course, this is in the wilderness in Numbers chapter number 11. But they murmured and they complained. And the Bible says God heard them. And many of those people died. And so that's the problem here. By the way, the thing that caused the Jews to wander in the wilderness for 40 years was murmuring and unbelief by complaining. They complained because they didn't have any water. They complained because they got tired of the manna coming down from heaven. Would you ever complain about that? Would you complain about manna coming down? It's angels' food, you know. Well, you might if you had to eat it, you know, every single day for every meal. If you had to do that, then you might say, man, I wish I had something else. I wish I had some fried chicken or something else, you know. And so they complained about that, and they God set them to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of their murmuring. And the other problem was this, that the apostles, they're having to stop studying the Bible and praying and all that in order to take care of this stuff, you see. That's the two problems, complaining and the apostles there. But the thing that brought it up was the people are complaining. There's two groups of people here. In verse number one, it says, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. All right, there's some with Greek background. I think they're proselytes, and they have a Grecian background, and the Hebrews. Well, it seems like the Grecians, they feel like that in the daily ministration, whatever they're doing to these widows, they feel like they're not being taken care of properly. And so they complain about it, you see. So you have two groups of people right there. It says, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So that is the problem there. They thought they were neglected. And the apostles, the 12, there's 12 apostles, and they're having to take care of all this. They're doing it. They're having to leave the word of God, they said, and they're having to do it. They're teaching. They're doing all the teaching. They're preaching to the people. There are thousands of people, and not like tens or fifties like we got, you know, and not like that. But there are thousands of people. They don't have a building like we've got. They have a big area somewhere in the temple that they meet together, and maybe they meet daily, and they have preaching from the different apostles and teaching and things like that. Now, here's the thing, folks. There's no church that is perfect. No church is perfect, and here's the reason why. Because it's made up of people like you and me. That's why it's not perfect. We're all imperfect. And, we're all a bunch of sinners. And so there will always be some problem. We ought to do this. We ought to let the love of God and our worship of God and Jesus Christ bind us together, because that's the thing that all brings us together here. If you were just take every person and talk to them individually, they're all different. Everybody's different. You may not have the same likes and dislikes that I have or that we have, you see. But we all got some things in common. And that one thing in common is, number one, if you're saved this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're going to heaven. That binds us together. You believe these things from the Bible. You take this book right here. You believe the Holy Bible. You believe the Holy Bible. That binds us together. You believe the things that are found in the Bible, that we ought to follow the Bible, that we ought to live by it, that we ought to hear preaching and all those things. That binds us together, see. And even though we don't, even though we're different in almost every other area, see, then that those things will bind us together. So we ought to let those things bind us together. And of course, there's going to be some problems sometimes. I know a lot of times people do this. People do this. They have a little problem or something, and you know what they do? Well, I'm just not coming back. I'm just not coming back. You know, these people right here, they're going to solve the problem. They're going to solve the problem. My next point in verse number 2 and 2 to 4 is the proposal. They made a proposal. They said, we're going to find the solution to this problem. We got people over here that are murmuring. They're complaining. We got the apostles over here. They're having to do all these things themselves. And so we're going to try to find a solution and solve the problem. They're not just going to stay home, you know, and you know, you fix the problem and we'll stay home. No, they're not going to do that. See, they're going to solve the problem. They're not just going to all get upset and leave. I've had people leave. Now, you know, I've had a lot of people leave over the years. And you would think a nice, sweet fella like me would never have anybody, see. Now, y'all look up here for just a minute. I'm very calm compared to what I used to be. Very calm. Why? Because I don't have the energy that I used to. I used to just do things like running up and down the aisles, and I couldn't preach without, you know, getting loud. Am I right, Nikki? But I don't, maybe you're blessed. I don't have that kind of energy anymore. I just mostly stand right. Even when I came here 5.5 years ago, I mean to this building, and over there at the other building, see, I had a lot of more energy. I used to could sit up at night on Saturday night. I'd work all week, and I would sit up until 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock sometimes, and then I could still preach in the morning. I can't do that now. I can't do that now. But, you know, I've said a lot of things that people didn't like. They didn't come and talk to me. They didn't come and talk to me. They didn't come and say, what did you mean? No, they didn't. You know what they did? It's got mad and left. It's got mad and left. Sorry about that. But they're going to solve the problem, the solution. Read verse number 2 and 3. What is the solution? Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. In other words, it's not a reasonable thing for us to have to do this. We have got too many other things to do. He's talking about preaching and praying. That's what he's talking about. He said, we got too many other things. We can't do that, which is the most important thing, and do this work too. It is not a reasonable thing for us to have to do that. So here's what we're going to do in verse number three. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And then we'll do what it says in verse number 4. He said, you find some men. He's talking to the people out there. The apostles didn't pick them out. They said, you find 7 men. 7. Well, the church probably had 15, 20. They might have had 15, 20,000 people there. I don't know, but they might have had that many. 7 men. What's that? Well, that's one man for every 2,000 people. You know, guessing. He said, you people pick them out. You pick them out and we will appoint these men over this business. And you men will take care of that. And then look in verse number 4. And we will give ourselves continually unto prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what we will do. We've got to preach. We've got to teach. We've got to pray, he said. Continually. That is like waves coming up on a seashore over and over and over, day and night, 24 hours a day. Continually, that's what that word means. He said, we'll do that, and we will preach the word, the ministry of the word, wherever we go, all over town or wherever. We will do that, and we will appoint these men over this business. That's the first deacons. That's how they came about. That's how it's a good thing to have deacons. We don't have any deacons. It's biblical to have deacons. I don't know if anybody would want the job. If people will do the business, do the work, you see, then we ought to have them instead of having trustees. That's not in the Bible. It's okay, but we ought to have deacons if we're going to be biblical. The 12 apostles, they got everybody together, and they told them what the problem, and they talked over the problem. The requirements are found in verse number 3. Here's what they said in verse number 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men. What does it say? Men. They have to be men. There are no women deacons in the Bible, just like there are no women pastors in the Bible. You see, they got to be men. That's number 1. Number 2, they got to be honest, of honest report. Number 3, full of the Holy Ghost. That's number 3. Number 4, and wisdom. They have to be wise men. They said, if you find out, you find 7 men in the congregation, you find 7 men like that, and we will appoint them, and they're going to lay their hands on them, and they're going to, the apostles, and they're going to pray over them, they're going to take care of this work. Later on, even in this very chapter, Stephen, he begins to preach. See, he begins to preach. So there are men who know the Bible. Hold your place there and turn over to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, which was written later. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And look at verse number 8. And by the way, folks, the requirements for a deacon are similar to that of a pastor. They are similar. If you want to look, and we'll just start back up in verse number 1 of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. We'll read the whole thing. Here's the pastor. Here's the deacons. Verse number 1 says, this is a true saying. If a man, see, number 1, he's got to be a man, no women. If a man desire, he's got to have a desire in his heart to do this work. If a man desire the office, the pastor is an office in the church, just like the deacon is. If a man desire the office of a bishop, pastor, elder, bishop, he desireth a good work. It is a work, an office in the church. Verse number 2, a bishop then must be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife. Vigilant, looking over the congregation, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, able to teach, not given to wine, don't drink, no striker, don't be hitting people, not greedy of filthy lucre, that's money. In other words, the desire for money shouldn't be his main objective. But patient, not a brawler. As I've said before, you're not to see your pastor come flying out of a bar somewhere, out of the doors, you know, and landing on the ground. See, not a brawler. You don't do that. Not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? Verse number 6, not a novice. In other words, he's a young man. He hadn't been saved very long. Not a novice. Nah, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, verse number 8 talks about the deacons. Likewise, see, here we go. Likewise, like these things, must the deacons be grave. Grave, of serious character, that is. Not double-tongued. Not given too much wine. They don't drink. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Same thing over there. Holding the mystery of the faith. In other words, they believe the Bible and they are sound in doctrine. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. In other words, they've been around for a little bit. And then let them use the office of a deacon. In other words, when it says there, you use the office of a deacon, that is, you do the work. You do the work that's supposed to be done. Use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Verse number 11. Even so must their wives See, that's not about pastors there. It's nothing said about his wife except be the husband of one wife. But for deacons, it says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Verse 12, let the deacons be the husband of one wife. Same thing. Ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So there you go. That was added later whenever when God gave the instructions to Paul. All right, back over to the book of Acts. So it is said over there, it is said to be an office. So deacons, listen carefully. Deacons are spiritual ministers who serve the church by waiting on them. I'm not talking about standing and waiting on somebody to do something. I'm talking about like a waiter in a restaurant, a waiter who waits on people. What do you need? I'll get it for you. See, they wait on people. They are ministering to these people in the church. They are like servants to the church. That's what the deacons are supposed to be. It is an office in the church, two offices. There are all kinds of ministering to be done. There is praying. There is visiting. There is helping people with problems. There is building maintenance. See, now around here, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying probably that's the way we've all been trained. See, if something needs to be done in the building, if the pastor doesn't say it, well, most time it doesn't get done. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that that's just the way it is. But see, we ought to all take part in all of this stuff here. You know, it shouldn't be a, well, anyway. Let me read for you chapter 12 and verse number 7. 6 and 7 of Romans chapter number 12. Here's what it says. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. You see, if we have a ministry, then we are to wait on it. We are to do that, take care of it, see. So, in the Bible, listen carefully, there are two offices in the church. In the local church, there is pastor and deacons, and that's all. There is no such thing as a pope over a worldwide organization. No such thing in the Bible. With a bunch of holy reverends and cardinals underneath him, and nuncios and archbishops and priests in black robes sprinkling babies. There's none of that stuff in the Bible. Let me tell you something else that's not in the Bible. There are no nuns in the Bible. No nuns except this. I'll back up. There are four nuns in the Bible. Four nuns. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12. Number one, there is none righteous. There is none righteous. That's the first nun. There is none that understandeth. That's number two. There is none that seeketh after God. That's number three. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Those are the nuns in the Bible. But that nun is not N-U-N. That's N-O-N-E. Those are the nuns in the Bible. Otherwise, this other stuff is not in the Bible, see. All that stuff is not in the Bible. It's just so much unscriptural nonsense. Look in verse number four. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They said this, if the people of the church, if they will appoint, if they will find out seven men of honest report, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, wise and all that, and if you'll nominate them, then we will appoint them over this business. And we will give ourselves, the 12 apostles, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And you know what? There was progress made. There was progress made. That's the next point. There was progress made. Verse number 5 to 7, here's what it says. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. He's the first one that is given there. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He's not one of the 12 apostles there. Now, he may be a convert of the apostles, because he's able to do wonders, it says here, signs and wonders and all that. He's a convert of the apostles, and he's with the apostles. He's doing all that, see. So he's the first one that they choose. How did they go about choosing them? I'm not sure. But they said, let's get Stephen. Why? Because Stephen's already there and doing a lot of stuff. See, he's not somebody that's never there. You know, why would they pick somebody like that? No, he's not somebody that's never there, that never does anything. See, he's there. And so they said, this guy would do the work. It's got to be somebody who's going to use the office. They're going to do the work that is required. Otherwise, you know, there's no need to put them. Somebody's going to be a deacon. But they're not there. They're not there. See, why would you appoint a deacon for that? They're not there. They can't do the work. You got to do the work, you see. See, people don't understand. You don't understand. See, most people can do what they want to do. You want to come to church? If you want to come to church, you can do what you want to do most of the time. People don't want to find excuses. I'll guarantee you there's lots of excuses out there. Go right ahead. Pick all the stupid excuses you want to. Do whatever you want to. See, nobody's going to make anybody do anything. But if you, whatever you love to do and you want to do, then you can find a way to do it. They can find a way to do the work. Otherwise, they just got a title. They're a deacon, but they don't deek, you see. And so you got to do the work. Use the office. Use the office and do the work. Otherwise, no need to have a deacon like that, you see. I'd love to have deacons. Fine, be great. Be great. It's biblical. There's progress made. The multitude were pleased. Look in verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. You see, here's the man. He's already serving God. You know, that's who most of the time God chooses to do something. God calls people to preach. They're already busy. They're already busy. They're already doing stuff, see. He doesn't call anybody who's lazy and who doesn't want to work. He's not going to call people like that. That's the reason you ought to raise your boys and girls up to not be lazy, to make them men. As I told you last week, we need to be busy about raising up boys and girls that are going to be men and they're going to be women that know the difference. They have no question about what they are. They are masculine men and feminine women, nothing in between. Do not blur the lines between men and women. Don't blur the lines between men and women. You see, they were happy about this. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. You see, oh man, to raise up men like that. And Philip, see, Philip is the second man. These two men, later on, they preach. This guy named Stephen, they're going to stone him in the next chapter. He's going to die for what he preaches. He's going to die. He could have held up his hand and said, oh, don't stone me. I recant. I changed my mind. I don't believe it. He didn't do it. They stoned him to death for what he believed and for what he preached, you see. So here's a man who's willing to die for what he believed. Verse number 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. There are two places in this Bible in here. I've got to hurry on. One is Antioch, and if you look down a few verses there, the other one is called Alexandria. Alexandria. You know where Alexandria is? How many of y'all know where Alexandria is? It's from Egypt. Egypt. They disputed against Stephen when he preached. Alexander. Do you know this? I better read that for you. Verse number five, a proselyte of Antioch. Look down at verse number 9. There arose certain of the synagogue, which is called, this is synagogue, not the church, the synagogue in Jerusalem. Now up here, verse number 5, these men are from the church. There arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians. See, they're from Egypt. And of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And by the way, the next verse says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Man, they couldn't stand his preaching, and they couldn't stand up against his preaching. These from Alexandria, Egypt, they disputed what Stephen was preaching. He's preaching the truth. They don't like it. Did you know this? All of the new Bibles out there, except one that we use, the King James Bible, the underlying Greek manuscript comes from Egypt. All of them from Egypt. Tell me this. Why would anybody want a Bible that came from Egypt? You know what Egypt is in the Bible? It's a picture of what? It's a picture of the world. Why would anybody want a Bible that comes from there? You know what your Bible, the King James Bible, comes from? The underlying Greek manuscripts come from Antioch. And all of the Bible-believing people from there to here, you see. So there you have Antioch, Alexandria, you see. Those from Antioch, those from Alexandria, I mean, they disputed with this man here. You know what came from Antioch? Antioch, by the way, is in Syria. In the southern part of Syria there, it's got a little different name today. Antakya or something like that. It's still there, I think. But you know what came from Antioch? Missionaries came from Antioch. Bible preachers came from Antioch. The first church, Bible says in Acts chapter number 11, verse number 26, and the disciples were called Christians first at where? Antioch. That's the first time the word Christians is used in the Bible, was at a place called Antioch. But from Alexandria, what do? They dispute. They dispute what Stephen, a Bible preacher, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, they're disputing with him. They're saying, we don't believe that. You know what he's preaching? He's preaching the cross. He's preaching the Bible. He's preaching all of that, and they don't like it. They're from Alexandria. Man, nobody ought to have a Bible if you want to believe something to believe. You don't need one from Alexandria, from the world. Progress is made. The Bible says the whole church was pleased. Many more were saved. Stephen was one of the deacons that were chosen. Just real briefly, the last point. Verse number 8 to 15 is the power of Stephen. The power of Stephen. So I told you the problem and the proposal and the progress that was made and the power of this man, Stephen. Look in verse number 8, it says. Verse number 9, I read you. In verse number 10, it says, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. See, they just couldn't stand up to his preaching. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against... He's about to be condemned. He's about to be condemned of blasphemy. Tell me, who else was condemned for blasphemy? Jesus Christ was condemned for blasphemy, for saying certain things. Jesus was condemned by the religious leaders. He was condemned for blasphemy. Against God, verse number 12, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Man, there's Stephen. They've got him there, and they're talking about him. They're condemning him, accusing him of blasphemy. He's preaching about Jesus Christ. His face was as it were the face of an angel, like Moses. That's the presence of God. The presence of God, you see. That's the first time deacons are found in the Bible. First time the first deacons, they became deacons, even though the word is not mentioned there. Folks, let me tell you something. This man here, Stephen, even though he was right with God, he died in the prime of life. There are several people like that in the Bible. For instance, James in Acts chapter number 12. James was executed. Jesus, when he was age 33, and now Stephen and later Paul and all of the apostles, all of these people. And folks, I don't know about you, but that scares me, because we're going to see these men. These men who were willing to give their life for what they believed, you see. Willing to give their life. And a lot of people today call themselves Christians. You can't even get them to come to church, you see. If they are saved, they're going to meet these people. We're going to see them. And man, they were such faithful people and faithful.